Hey, y'all, you're listening to Big Facts No Cap with Paul, Adrian, and Phil. You're listening to the number one podcast with up-and-comers and uppity drummers. You know, uppity drummers. Yeah, that's a thing.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
It is crazy that we've gone like, well, I guess there was a scandal like 4 or 5 months back, but it's almost been like a full year since we've had to talk about Chapel Roan as a society.
What do you mean?
She came up on Heads Up last night and I was like, damn, I haven't talked about her in forever.
Oh, yeah. What do you think about her now? Do you think you still have the same thoughts about her? She's just kind of like...
Yeah, I think she's still great. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care that much about her like fan behavior or whatever that stuff goes on.
Mm. What was her fan behavior? What do you mean? Like, they were just like...
She really hates fans who are overly familiar, and then there's like some other stuff about her fan base being kind of weird, but... I don't know. None of that really bothers me.
It's kind of like the Rick and Morty thing where discussions of her fan base overtook discussions of her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
And like the stuff about her being mean to paparazzi and stuff, which I think is fine. That's practice.
I think you should be mean to paparazzi, yeah.
Phil, if someone ever asked you for an autograph, would you do it? Would you stop for a picture?
It depends. Is it a hot girl?
What if you got the exact letter from Stan, but it was for you?
Ooh. I would write back. I would write back almost too fast to where he would start telling me, like, I think you need some counseling. It would be reversed. Like, you were way too readily available.
You should not be this accessible.
Yeah, I was pranking you. I'm not even a fan of your music.
Oh, do you guys listen to the new Vince Staples?
Yeah, it was really good.
I haven't finished it yet, but that TV song, that one was an interesting one to me, where I was like, I understand the genre that he's going for and, like, the tone and, like, what he's trying to do. Since when does Vince care that much about the TV? Like, does he have a Fox News uncle? Like, what is going on? Like, like, that style of song sometimes is like, eh.
I heard people calling this, like, pop-punk fusion, and then I listened to it, and I was like, this feels like it just has a guitar on it. It feels like rock fusion at most. Did you get pop-punk?
Yeah, I see pop-punk.
Okay, you got the vibes? Yeah. Okay. Maybe I just don't know.
Except much heavier on the bass. The bass, honestly, a lot of them are really good on the song, and I like the drum, the textures in it, too. Oh, just sometimes when you lean into that style, like, the writing is, like, old school punk. Like, the writing is, like, I'm not gonna be part of your conformity. Like, I don't know. He might as well be doing that at certain points in the album, and that's the only part where the album doesn't really play for me.
I was gonna say, what I thought worked about it was that it didn't lean too much into, you know how sometimes a rapper makes that genre and it starts feeling like they're making, like, a Weird Al spoof of the genre?
Yeah, like MGK.
Yeah, kind of, where you're almost hearkening too much to the things we listened to in, like, the 2000s. It feels like you're just doing covers. Or this felt like he still was rapping and there was still, like, some of, like, Vince's personality on it. It wasn't all just him doing, what if I made Skater Boy, but... I was just worse at singing it.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do when they're rappers who start making punk or emo or whatever.
I think so far, I don't know, a lot of it's really good. Like I said, I'm only still like halfway through the album. I keep restarting it every time I go on a car ride, which is a bad habit that I do. But White Flag, I think, is the standout for me right now. I really like the groove on that one. What about you, Phil? You haven't gotten to it yet?
I haven't gotten to it yet. I have it queued up, though, because there was something else that dropped. Oh, Freddie Gibbs' new album dropped, so I did listen to that. Or not new album, but I guess the deluxe version of an older album that was pretty good. I haven't listened to it yet, but Wax Museum is also on the queue right now. Tierra Wax. Didn't you listen to that, Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah? Cool.
It was great.
Oh, yeah. I do like Tierra Wax a lot. I like that one album she has where every song is like 1 minute long. I forgot what it's called.
Was that Wack World? Or is that
it was Wack World.
That was Wack World.
Yeah. I like that one a lot.
That was, she released it on Instagram, right? That's why they were all short.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. That's a good idea.
And then she released that Vine album before that, right?
Yeah. But she had to rap like she was doing Rap like, God on every
like
song
to
get
off. 12 seconds long each song.
What's that Tokyo Drift remix where she does that? She comes out swinging with the...
oh, God, yeah. I forgot about that song. Was that ASAP Ferg on that song?
Yeah, and Lil Yachty's the one who's like, girl, you gotta slow down.
I'm just a yacht. I can't go that fast. Not a speedboat. Oh, he should make a song called Speedboat where he tries to rap fast.
I think he should do a collab song with Target.
Ooh.
Oh, wait. Lil Yachty's already done that. My bad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait, why should he do one with Target?
He just has done a song for Target.
Oh.
Where he raps about Target.
Which department store would y'all rap for? I think I would do Marshalls or something.
Marshalls. You're for the people. Marshall Mather EP.
Well, I guess Eminem should do Marshalls. That's what you're
going to do. I'll do Ross because I'm more for the people.
Oh, you dress for less. Mm.
Yeah.
You would do a nude and say, yeah, I also dress for less. You're just nude walking around him, TJ Maxx. Oh, Ross. Ross is dressed for less. TJ Maxx would be cool. My thing about Ross and Marshalls is I don't like how they say original price, $300. And then they cross it out and they put our price, $20. It's like, this is a Billabong t-shirt. There's no way this is $300 fucking dollars. Y'all are lying to me. And they're like, sorry, bro.
I mean, that's what they do at Grocery Outlet. That's part of the psychology of it is they make you think you're saving crazy money. And I think for the most part, people say that it's true besides the wine section. The wine section, they're just throwing out whatever number they want.
What if they had Arizona sweet tea there and they were like, their price, 99 cents. Our price, $1.
Has Arizona stopped like with inflation? Have they scratched that out?
Is it like I think the guy came out and he made it a point where he was like, I will never change the price of my sweet tea.
Mm.
Yeah, we can't fill it with the same shit anymore. It is mostly butted there, but I will never make the price go higher.
We did take everything out the can. It's just an empty can now, but I will never.
Never
change the price of this goddamn game.
I never got into Arizona iced tea, but
yeah, I mean, I don't mind the unsweetened ones. You know, those aren't bad. But yeah, anytime I had like a canned or a bottled sweet tea, it's been disgusting. I don't know, it's not good. I do love sweet tea though.
We got some real Southerners on this podcast.
Give me a sweet tea and a biscuit with some butter and some grits.
Give me some blackberry marmalade and sweet tea. Mm-hmm.
I have the same thing every person has about sweet tea, which is the one place I worked where I was in charge of making the sweet tea. It was just so disgusting how much sugar you put in it.
Yeah,
I remember that back in the Tea Greasy days.
I did get complimented on it multiple times, and I was like, my trick is I put more sugar than even they told me to put in there. There was like 5 bucketfuls of sugar, and I'd put 6 in, and people would be like, this is really good sweet
tea.
That's
a little Paul difference, yeah. Oh, did I have any media roundup? What did I have? Oh, I went to go watch a movie at the Dreamland that I really liked. 1970s Italian comedy. It's mixed live action black and white. And then animation. It's called Allegro Non Troppo. It's basically, it starts off with this guy who's like, yeah, I've been hearing this BS that they're doing in the US where it's some guy named Disney or something like that. But what they do is they just like make animation over classical music. We can do that. So then that's them. It's just them making like little, like much hornier and much more like adult animation over like he hires these old ladies who are clearly like out of commission to like be the orchestra for it, and he's like taking the animator out of a dungeon to make him work to make the animations. It's just it's a really funny movie. I really liked it.
Huh. Adrian, do you remember when we went to the Dreamland and saw that one movie, Meshes of the Afternoon? It was part of like a series. It was a pretty good movie, and I watched the 1940s Beauty and the Beast, and if you like kind of like surreal cinema, It's a good watch. It's fun. It's like very dream logic. It's creepy and surreal and kind of has that same vibe as Meshes in the Afternoon. And then
you're really getting into the old stuff. You're going to try and get them to open the Disney vault.
So this is John Cocteau, like the French director. This is live action. The makeup and stuff is crazy. Mm. The Beast looks insane. It's really well done as far as like set design and costume goes.
I watched the clip from Beverly Hills Chihuahua when the Chihuahua plays the piano in the ballroom. That's about all.
Just the clip. The whole movie was a little too long and
a little too complicated for old Philip. I just wanted to see the funny piano scene. It is like the funniest scene I've ever seen, maybe in any movie. I haven't even watched the whole movie. There might be some other bangers in there, but watch that. I watched some Badley and Chug videos. It's weird. Y'all come in with media roundup and movies and talk about these old French black and white films and like these cool revolutionary like cinematography projects. And I'm like, I watched the fucking this big dude chug a thing of beans. And then I watched a CGI Chihuahua play piano.
That's why we need a good spread on this pod.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Double XL freshman.
Did you guys do some research? I didn't realize it started in 2007. I don't know why I thought it was older than that, but that seems like about the right time when once I thought about it. I just didn't really think about it.
I didn't know it was around for that long.
And it skipped 2008, so.
Yeah.
And
stock market crash.
What? Did you see the... Yeah. Did you see the... who was on the 2007 XXL?
Oh, yeah. I looked through all of them, yeah.
The only one... Oh, I know.
Papoose, okay. Saigon.
Lupe, Lil Boothie, Young Dro,
yeah, that's obviously the big one.
Crooked Eye. Wow, that's cool.
I don't know
Angel
Crooked
Ortiz.
Eye.
Angel Ortiz.
Oh, yeah. Plies.
Oh, they're both from Slaughterhouse. I think they're both considered the weaker members of Slaughterhouse.
Okay, so we do know a good amount of these. I guess I really just didn't know Saigon, Crooked Eye.
And Gorilla Zoe.
Zoe, I would think.
I think Gorilla Zoe had that song, The Coffee Shop. I think that was his big song.
I'll take you to the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure your coffee's hot.
Hey, that's an awfully hot coffee pot.
Teapot. Keep going till you hit the spot.
Oh,
whoa.
Whoa, it's the coffee shop.
How's that guy a one-hit wonder?
He just copied 50 Cent songs. <It's>... let's see. And then Young Dro was on there. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't think we should just go through and list all the rappers in each year. What do you guys think conceptually, or what are your memories of the XXL freshman?
I remember it was a big thing where some people said, like, if they were chosen to be a XXL freshman, like, too late, they would reject it because they felt it as disrespect.
That was a... King Lo said that, right? Like, they asked him to be a XXL freshman. He's like, brother, I've been doing this for so long. I'm not about to accept the label of freshman.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Which is also... That was part of what contributed to people thinking that JID was, like, in his 20s, right? And he was, like, already 30-something when he got picked.
Also, he kind of looks like a baby and is short, but yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it's good promotion either way. I guess it is, like, I don't know. Being labeled.
I do still remember. I don't remember if that was my introduction to JID, but I do remember him just blowing everyone out of the water with his freestyle with the "they let bygones be bygones and we bygones." And I was like, ooh, this guy's rapping.
The main memory I have of being introduced to JID is trying to figure out if it's JID or JID and then being like, okay, it's both. It's fine.
Yeah. The duality of a man. His pronouns are JID, JID. Was it 2021 or which one was the one where I felt like I was the oldest man alive because I didn't know any of the people on the list?
I'm looking at 2021 and other than Pooh Shiesty, I don't recognize a single name and I probably wouldn't have back then.
Yeah. Flo Milli, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's 20. No.
Oh, Flo Milli, right.
Yeah.
I think I know every one of these except for Lakia.
Mm.
Yeah. 42.
Because now we're kind of wrapping back around where I think I know more from the 2024 and 2025. Maybe it was just a COVID thing. I don't know.
Do you feel like it should be people, though, you never heard of? Because that is kind of like one of the points to be like, we're giving you a lot of promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's like, you need to find the right people at the right time. Like, I think the best example of that would be Megan Thee Stallion, where I knew who she was, but it really felt like that XXL freshman list put her on, like, the next level where she was supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I do remember that was one that I have a distinct memory of because that was it was Megan Thee Stallion, Rico Nasty, and Tierra Whack were all in the same year. Is that true?
I think so, but I remember.
Yeah, Megan Thee Stallion, Rico Nasty, and Tierra Whack. And I just remember the guys in that class were so bad. And when they did the freestyles, I was like, dude, the ladies are knocking this out of the park and the dudes are all so bad.
Well, wasn't the baby
Can we give it up to
one?
The ladies?
What?
Wasn't the baby in that one?
He was not. Lil Mosey, I remember him. Oh, yeah, DaBaby was in that one. Okay, yeah,
you're
right.
He did the freestyle with Megan Thee Stallion and Lil Mosey, I think.
Oh, yeah, and in his freestyle, he was like, you'd be surprised to see a baby as a freshman.
That's true.
That was his big bar.
Are there any other freestyles that really stand out to you guys? Do you remember that XXXTentacion freestyle?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, wasn't that like the annoying no-beat one where...
Yeah, he cut the beat.
Did he say anything interesting?
Oh, he said a lot of stuff that was interesting. A lot of really powerful stuff. He was like, hey, yo, why do we park in the driveway and drive in the parkway? That's also a great XXX impression.
Wasn't there one with like Machine Gun Kelly, B.O.B., Tech 9, Big Crit?
I don't know if Tech 9, but Big Crit was in
Machine
one, yeah.
Gun Kelly was the same year as B.O.B.? That feels like two very different eras.
Oh, wait, I'm mixing it up with the BET 2011 cypher because sometimes they'll have cyphers for BET awards and they'll group a lot of people together. And there was one with like B.O.B., Tech 9, Machine Gun Kelly. I think Big Crit was in there. It was just kind of like a crazy cypher to have. But like,
yeah, I feel like by the time I was like very aware of Machine Gun Kelly, B.O.B. was mostly known for being a flat earther.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did he do a diss track against Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
Who won that diss? Who won that beef? Did Neil ever respond?
Neil's been quiet ever since.
His nephew responded with a rap.
Oh, really?
How do you feel like, are you glad that, oh shit, what is the name of the record label? What is Hobson's record label? Are you glad that they're getting a lot of love on the XXL? Yeah.
Oh yeah, wasn't like him, Dizzy Wright, Jaron Bitten on it?
Yeah, all three of them were.
Well, Dizzy Wright's name is highlighted, which means he was an audience pick. He won the vote.
Oh, so was Jaron Bitten. So apparently they were just really good at marketing.
That's cool. I mean, they kind of were, to be honest, and they were all like...
Yeah, they have a devoted fan base.
And I was about to say, like, they're all kind of different, but I think it was really just Dizzy Wright that stood out of it, because I think Hobson and Jaron were kind of, like, the same type of rapper, you know? Also, Jaron Bitten, I don't know if you knew this, Adrian, but he has some old Grind Time rap battles out.
Oh, yeah, damn.
I forgot if he battled anybody big, but, yeah, I guess...
Was it under the name Jaron Bitten?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised Lil Yachty had to win the fan vote to get in on his year, because I remember Lil Boat being, I mean, I don't know, I was in college, so who knows why I was listening to what I listened to, but I remember that having some, like, popularity.
So, do you guys agree with the majority opinion that 2016 is the strongest year?
Ooh, let's look at the 2016 one.
That cipher from that year, I still listen to that sometimes. I'll pull up the YouTube video.
Oh, okay. Is that like a you're home drunk and you want to get hype?
Oh, what's this? With Denzel Curry, 21 Kodak, and Yachty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems like they're all having so much fun is a big part of it. It's not even like, oh, all these raps are crazy. It's just like, oh, they get along and they're being funny. Yeah. They're making Kodak making fun of the beat. It's such a great moment. Who put on this sorry ass beat?
The one with Dave East and G Herbo on that class, it was just them two doing it. And they were, I think that's when I heard of both of them at the same time. And I was like, oh, I like both these guys a lot. And then the one with, it was Anderson .Paak, Designer, and Lil Dicky. I remember, I didn't like Designer's verse a lot. And Anderson .Paak just kind of did like the, did like a singing thing, which I guess makes sense for him, you know? And then Lil Dicky had a lyrical, miracle verse.
There are a few where they pick someone who's really more of a singer than a rapper, and you're kind of like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, more Ray.
Anderson does rap sometimes. Like, it's not completely out of left field for him to rap, but yeah.
Anderson .Paak?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, but I mean, there are other people that definitely show up in these lists.
Yeah.
Oh, Gold Link. Wow, what a name of somebody who I was, like, pretty into and kind of hype about and has really just disappeared pretty quickly.
Was that the guy
and
who...
His best song is with Shy Glizzy, so that's cool that they... had the same class.
The song with Gold Link, was he the person who came out with Crew?
Yeah.
I see money, she see money all around me. You know, it was really weird because after...
Black, I'm the man.
It was like a few months after Mac Miller passed away, Gold Link made some weird...
That was the last I heard of him.
Oh, yeah, when he made that weird long post about how, like, I think he was stealing the idea of my album, but it's all good. And I'm like, what a weird post to make.
Especially because every other rapper in the world was like, this is the most honorable, bestest man I ever knew.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything different you think that the XXL magazine should do? And like, I didn't know they did audience votes, and I think that's a really cool aspect to add to a XXL freshman class.
They've been doing it for a while, apparently.
Yeah.
2012 was the first one.
Damn. That is really cool.
I would say they need more DEI. I want to see some more Lil Dickies in here. I want to see some more Ians.
It is cool how prominent it became, because one of the biggest complaints people have is like, oh, obviously the Grammys always get it wrong. And just picking like 10 people who are up and coming and being like, this is who to watch out for. It's really like a, I would say it only puts good into the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're.
Well, yeah, I don't know if there are too many stories about people being salty that they missed out. I remember there was one year where they showed all the people who auditioned or whatever and who actually ended up making it. But yeah, I mean, I think overall it's definitely a net positive.
Do you think it has as big as an impact as it used to have? Because I don't think it does. Because I think
No, of course not.
But I think there's also the stuff where like hip-hop not being as big, you know?
Yeah, because there's some people who do it when they're already big. Like, I think Chief Keef didn't do any of the media that goes along with being a XXL freshman because he didn't really need to.
Yeah.
Whereas like everyone else needs to do like the, oh, here's the YouTube video about my ABCs of whatever. Or like, here's what, I don't know. They always do like different stuff with the, we're going to read mean tweets. XXL freshmen read the mean tweets about them.
Would you dress up as a freshman with like a big lanyard ID and a book bag?
We should look at the covers in order to see how fashion has changed, because they do give them like, I know they give them a big closet of like free clothes. I don't know if they get to keep it.
If they gave me a big closet, I would literally put on every single outfit and have like 25 like jackets up there. Be like, I can't. We start to be. I would pass out.
I think they do everybody now, but there are definitely years, like I think in Freddie Gibbs' year, it was him and one other person when I was on the cover. They kind of narrowed it down to two people. Now I think they try to do the big photo shoots.
I would really dress up as like a freshman. I would really have a lanyard, a huge book bag, and I would have a schedule.
A rolly bag?
I would have a schedule in my hand and be like, do y'all know where this class is? I would rap about not being able to find my classes.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen and put this up because it looks like they have released an article with all the covers.
Like, okay, like this one, they have them in Letterman jackets, which doesn't make sense.
2009.
As a freshman,
you would... Oh, because it was the first freshman... Oh, yeah, you're right. Letterman is what you get after freshman year when you've joined a sport.
They should have gave them book bags.
Whatever, it's collegiate. Shut the fuck up.
Wait, so they're freshmen in college then, and then these are their Lettermans from high school.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Asher Roth loves college.
I love college. Hey!
Okay, y'all are right about them only picking a few. Okay, Kid Cudi is... the fashions is definitely...
Oh, that's a separate 2009 one, yeah.
In 2009, it's definitely like a little bit more 2000s still the fashion.
Ace Hood, I forgot about him. That's cool.
Yeah, Kid Cudi was a good pick.
Corey Guns.
Okay, so they just did, yeah.
Blue Rocks, but yeah, what a
Mickey Fax,
always be in the underground type guy.
Mickey Fax is on Hero's upcoming album, Hero from Columbia, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, cool.
But Blue's definitely dressed like a backpack rapper. He's dressed so appropriate for the type of music he makes. Yeah.
Now that's a spread.
Okay, now 2009 has everybody finally instead of just...
2010.
Oh, J. Cole is on there. Freddie Gibbs, Nipsey.
Nipsey Hussle, yeah. Big Sean.
Is it this J-Rock?
J-Rock, yeah. Yeah, not too many weak names in there besides OJ the Juice Man.
We still got Backwards Hat and Big Fits, though, that still hasn't, like, moved into the era of tight jeans. Everybody on here is dressed exactly how Conceited dresses on Wild N' Out.
A new breed of hustlers.
Freddie Gibbs probably has the best fit in this one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Letterman. He was told everybody was going to wear a Letterman jacket. The chalkboard.
Lil B is just shirtless in 2011. That's funny.
Meek Mill, Big Crit, Sci-High, Lil Twist, Yellow Wolf, Fred the Godson, Mac Miller, Kendrick.
Oh, IG. Nice. Is this MGK?
Yeah, MGK.
Oh, yeah. He's a wild boy.
Macklemore and MGK in the same one?
And Iggy Azalea?
That's crazy work.
Come
See,
on
that's
now.
What I was saying. That's what we need more of.
Oh, this one, it's got y'all's boy on it.
Hobson.
Y'all's boy? Hey, that's Phil's boy.
No, that was Adrian's favorite rapper ever. It still is, too.
Oh, Iggy shit. I didn't even notice Danny Brown out there with his tongue out. That used to be the face he'd make in every interview. Okay, now we're getting into the weird fashion era. The 2013.
Experimental. Action Bronson looks good.
Yeah, and his camo.
Oh, he does look good.
Only one person gets to be shirtless every year, and this year it's Absol.
This is actually a pretty fire class. Damn, Schoolboy, Joey Badass, Absol, Logic, Action Bronson.
Was Kendrick in a previous one, or was he...
Yeah, he was in the 2011 one, I think. Yeah, that's a pretty solid class, too. Let's see. Chance the Rapper, Rich Homie Quan.
2014. Yeah, Chance is shirtless, but with overalls on. I forgot that's how Kevin Gates dresses, is a full button up.
Oh, so this is when Jaren Benton was on it. Okay, so he was a couple years after.
10th spot winner. Oh, and the guy that cucked Will Smith.
Yeah, August Alsina.
Yeah. Oh, now this is a good one. I like how they're all
This is
matching.
The one that with the iconic cipher that everybody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great class. Like, who from this is not still famous? You know what I mean? 2016, Lil Yachty. Oh, Designer's the one who's not famous. But Lil Yachty, Designer, Dave East. Because Denzel Curry, G Herbo, Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Dicky, Anderson Paak, 21 Savage, and Kodak Black. Come on now.
I'm about to say, like, we were talking, you said Earl Sweatshirt. Was Tyler the Creator ever a XXL freshman?
He seemed like the kind of guy who would have turned it down, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Boogie with the hoodie.
Okay, so they did 2016, everybody was wearing all white for the photo. In 2017, everybody's wearing all black because XXXTentacion insisted. Oh, they got that one guy, Kyle. I forgot about Kyle, and he's so goofy looking.
Forgot about that guy, too. Ugly God.
Oh, yeah, he's gone.
Man, Playboi Carti is huge now.
What was his record label? Ugly God was like a doo-doo shit records? It was dog shit records? I don't know.
I don't know. That's funny, though.
2018, okay.
A little more SoundCloud. So we got, Ski Mask, Pump, Smoke Perp, Wi-Fi's Funeral and Trippie Redd. A little more SoundCloud influence, but it's cool to see JID up there.
No cap.
All right, so we're going to jump into the third segment, which for this year's XXL Freshman is we reviewed some artists who are up for the fan vote. So every year, the fans get to vote on the 11th member of the freshman class.
10th member.
So we all listen to the top five songs by two artists who are up for the vote. So I'll go first. I reviewed Chris Patrick and YK Neese. So we listened to the top five songs they had on Spotify. Chris Patrick, when he's rapping, he's like very much like Saba. His top song was Alley-Oop from the GOAT soundtrack, that animated basketball movie. And it was a really nice song. Yeah. It probably had better production because it had that movie money behind it than a lot of his other songs. It's like I'm having money trouble kicking back, or I'm having money trouble and being broke type song. It's good. I would listen to it if you're going to check him out. A lot of his other songs were very like R&B. I don't know. Not that I listened to a lot of The Weeknd, but maybe like that style of like moody ambient R&B. A lot of like Women Have Betrayed Me, Hoes Ain't Loyal. So the second song was The Code. I did not like it. It sounds like a song you've heard 100 times before. It's about sleeping with women on tour and how they're all disposable.
Oh, he's already going on tour. Okay. So he's got a soundtrack feature and he's already going on tour. Okay.
Yeah, Chris Patrick.
Where is he from?
I want to say New Jersey, but I can look it up again and make sure. East Orange, New Jersey. And then there was Take Time for Myself. This is probably the song I liked the most after the first song, Alley-Oop. Adrian, you probably know this from working, doing DSA stuff. Mental health breaks and don't let yourself get burned out is basically the theme of this song.
What does he rhyme bandwidth with?
Next up, we have Oakland Interlude, which is so long for an interlude. There's a beat switch in it.
It's called Oakland Interlude? I'm about to say, I heard a song called Oakland before. Is that an R&B-ish song?
It is R&B-ish. Maybe it is. Sing it again.
Oh, I'm thinking of a song called Oakland Part 2. Never mind. By Kari. Who Kari is actually also on this XXL freshman like voting list. But that, yeah, anyway, go ahead.
This song is also about women being bad. This one's
Anyway, and to be clear, you didn't pick any women for your two picks, right?
I did. YK Neese.
Oh, YK Neese's. Any relation to RX Nephew?
No. One of the lines from Oakland Interlude is, "You trying to convince me pussy worth a DUI?" The song I wrote.
Oh, that's fire. That's fire.
We all been
I
there.
This.
I wrote, "This song is boring and bad." This time it's different than when he was sleeping with a lot of loose women, because this time it's a girl who treats him bad. The second half is a little better of the song.
You try to convince me that pussy's worth a DUI. That's so fun. I had 6 Smirnoff Ices and you told me to come over. I could have got a DUI. You know that?
Yeah, you got it. That's basically the concept of the first half of the song. And then I skipped a bunch of the other R&B songs because I was like, man, I do not like it when this guy does this moody R&B shit. So I got down to Gang Activity, which is...
Wait, is the second verse of that DUI song is like, "Now I'm on my way to your house on a moped."
2 weeks later, and now I have to freeze into a breathalyzer to start my car.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Gang Activity. It's about peer pressure, loyalty. It actually, kind of like the other song, Take Time for Myself, they feel, the Gang Activity and Take Time for Myself feel like songs that are good, but would be better in context of the album, because they both feel like a song that's, like Gang Activity feels so much like it's supposed to be part of a story. So, but yeah, that was a pretty good song too. So honestly, I like him when he's rapping and not doing what's very clearly an attempt to get a hit with an R&B song.
Cool. All right, Phil, you want to do your first person?
Yeah. So, okay, the first artist I chose was Fergie Baby. It's this guy from Harlem. I was actually unsure where he was from until I listened to his first song, which was Good Day to Be in Harlem. And then I was still a little bit unsure. So the second song was Harlem River Drive. And I was like, I think it's safe to assume this gentleman lives in Harlem.
His third song was
Welcome to Harlem. The Harlem Welcome Center. So yeah, so the first song I listened, so we listened to the top five on Spotify, right? That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. That's what okay. I did.
So one of them, the fourth most popular one was a song that he was featured on, which was Big L's posthumous album that came out this year, I believe, which I thought was cool. I mean, Big L is like a Harlem legend, so I wasn't too surprised. I was like, oh, that's cool. He got featured on that, and he did really good on that. But his number one song was really good, Good Day to Be in Harlem. I don't know. I like the vibe of it a lot because he's making Harlem references and stuff. And also he has ASAP Ferg on the remix of it because he's from Harlem. So Fergie Baby and ASAP Ferg.
That seems to be, I don't know if this is a through line for your artist. It didn't seem like it for Paul's first one. But a lot of these young artists, their top one, two, and three songs will be the song that blew them up, the remix, and then the second remix of that song that they did.
Yeah, I think the remix to Good Day to Be in Harlem was not on the top five. Okay, I think just the original was top one, which is cool to see. But
I just don't listen to that many artists that do remixes that often. I guess that really seems like a young and up-and-comer type thing where someone big's like, hey, I'll hop on that track with you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if the song is as much as a hit as it was, like, they'll get big. I mean, like, when Jack Harlow had What's Poppin', he had the remix with DaBaby, Lil Wayne, and Tory Lanez.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is like a new artist thing for sure. But yeah, Good Day to Be in Harlem is a bop. I like that song a lot. But the fifth song on their top Spotify songs was this song called Don't Tell Me, and then in parentheses is 9 to 5. That's a really fun song. And I was surprised by like hearing like the sound of that song compared to the other top five songs. It kind of threw me for a loop, but it was really good. And then it kind of made more sense when I saw the thumbnail was, I don't know if y'all seen that YouTuber who sits at like a fold-out table in like a park somewhere in New York, and it'll have like a little sign on it that says like not prove me I'm wrong or whatever, but it's a sign on it. It's the same setup. No, it's a guy named Hunna G, I think. And like he'll be like pick a beat and rap or something like that, or like rap over one of my beats, and he'll just sit next to you while the person is like rapping with headphones on. It's how I actually found a lot of new artists.
This beat is trash. I hate this beat.
Who the fuck been to sorry at? Every person says that. He's like, God damn it. But he did that for the YouTube channel. Then they released it as a song, and that was my favorite song by him. It does sound different than his other top songs, but I would highly recommend Good Day to Be in Harlem. That's a more fun, like, just bop, you know? And then it's some fun Harlem references in it, like the food and stuff like that. And then the fifth song, Don't Tell Me, in parentheses, 9 to 5 is fun when he's talking about how he doesn't want to work like a 9 to 5. He has a rhyme in there when he was like, I feel like I'm the hype man for the white man. Something. I want to go give me a light tan or something like that. Like, it was just a fun song. It was good. Like, he mentions PTO in the song. He gets really into the office, like, culture of a 9 to 5. And, like, this is kind of surprising. I like this, though. So, yeah, I liked his songs a lot. I would love to hear more from him, whether or not he gets picked.
What does he rhyme parental leave with?
He said, what's your favorite musical? It's Rent for me.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
That's Rent.
It's a very conversational tone in that song.
Yeah. He stops the beat for it. He's like, Cats was okay. So out of the two artists, the only song I did favorite was that 9 to 5 song, because that's a really fun song.
I was going to mention that in mine. Yeah. Which songs I actually added to my liked playlist.
Yeah. So I might actually go back and add the Good Day to Be in Harlem song. That's a fun one.
So I decided to pick mine based on who was repping South Carolina. So we're doing two South CAC artists. Number one, starting with Trim out of Charleston, Gullah Geechee territory. Trim is a lady, and she has somewhat derogatively been coined as a Nicki clone. I can totally see where people are coming with that, but I do think she has kind of her own interesting thing going on.
Does she rap bipolar? Does she like...
No, she doesn't. How would that sound?
Oh, it'll sound a little something like this.
No, it's more of it's just the high voice that Nicki does. She kind of has a little bit of an accent from the South Carolina thing. Her top song is Coconut Water, which like released right before she did Rolling Loud. That was like her festival song. It is a very fun banger, probably her best produced song. I think it's solid. No notes on that one. Her big song that made her big is her second song, which is Boat. And I didn't know that when I was listening to it at the gym. And what I wrote down is that it's underwritten, underproduced, and outstays its welcome. So I didn't love it as much as everyone else did. Like, I was 2 minutes into the song, and I was like, holy shit, there's 3 more minutes of this. It's okay. It's a little repetitive. That's kind of the point of the song. Like, it's one of those songs where there's a clap on every beat, so it's like kind of high energy, but it gets a little annoying after a while. I skipped the next two songs on her Spotify, which was remix number one of Boat and remix number two of Boat. Remix number two had Pooh Shiesty on it.
Ooh.
And both remixes, they boost the bass on it, which was kind of interesting that they like actually fixed the mixing on the track when they got like bigger artists on it. The next song that I actually listened to was Trump the Bill, which was just okay. It was just a feature with another female artist. Then she had Chrome featuring Slayer, who I think Slayer's on the, is he on the list for, or has he been a Double XL freshman? That one's a really fun song, and she's definitely the better part of that song. Although, yeah, Slayer is a feature on that song. And then Bad Hose is kind of a boring song with a meh feature. She raps a lot about being eaten out and sitting on guys' faces and how much they like her cookie. I think cookie is supposed to be her pussy. And so in that sense, a lot of the songs are pretty fun. And it's very like, there's nothing too... I don't know. Yeah, it's she's like a fun artist. Like if you like artists like that, it's like not even like at a cupcake level. Like it's not, it's very like more almost radio friendly, like just female sexuality rap, but it's, yeah, it's good for what it is.
All right, cool. And my second artist was YK Niece, which is short for You Know Shanice. She's from Atlanta and definitely in that lane of like rapping about sex, female rappers that are kind of all getting big right now or have been for the last half decade. I will say she's kind of like the embodiment of that Nicki verse, 40K for a verse, no album out. Mm. Not one song I listened to by her was her song. She's a featured artist on a song with like 10 people every time.
Oh, it's all posse cuts.
Yeah, it's all posse cuts, which does feel very Atlanta. It feels like she probably was, because I was listening to an interview with her and she was like, yeah, I wasn't really planning to be a rapper. Like, it feels like she was just friends or like in the scene enough that they're like, I don't know, made her famous.
Yeah, that's how Vince started.
But her number one song, which is by far her best song, Whim Whammy, was 84 million views. So I think the song is massive. I didn't know about it. It's a really good, fun song. Her standout lines from it were, Whim Whammy, bitch, you burnt out. Whim Whammy, bitch, I'm turnt now. So Whim Whammy, check it out. It's a fun song. Then she was on a Boat remix.
Hey, let's go.
As her number two song.
Did you think of it the same way I did?
What did you say about it?
underproduced, underwritten, and overstays its welcome.
Yeah, I did not like it.
So you want to drop on a boat?
My one note I wrote for this song was, I didn't.
Are they minions? Is that what they're?
Dude, I actually almost wrote that down, that she kind of speaks minionese. Minions.
I didn't get from this beat why they needed to have a remix of it. It's not a particularly good or special beat, right? You do a remix of a song when you're like, the beat is so crazy. We all got to see who can do something different over it. But it's like, this beat is generic and kind of bad. Then she was on the Pop That Thang remix. Pop That Thang. Is there any way for me to say that without sounding so corny?
Pop That Thang. It's
the DaBaby song. Her verse was good. She's got charisma. She's smooth in a like amateurish fun way, but she's so clearly not a rapper as far as I can tell. Like, you know, what's good about her is that she's kind of amateurish and fun, and her flow is smooth. It's good enough. Next up is Friend Do remix. I had the same note as I had over the Boat remix, which I don't get what about this beat was good enough to make a remix of, but also very boring song. And then Take Me Through There. I didn't write that many notes for this one. I just wrote, it's good and silly, but she's on it so little. I don't know why she counts as being on this song. But yeah, 40K for a verse, no album out. YK Shanice. YKN Niece. YKN Niece.
Did you add any on your liked playlist? I forgot to mention Coconut Water made it to my playlist. That was a good song.
I don't have a liked playlist, but if I was going to, maybe I would add Chris Patrick's Alley-Oop.
Okay.
I think that would be the only song from both artists that I would add.
And are you rooting for either of these guys to make it to the 10th spot?
I think Chris Patrick has it if he stops chasing a pop hit and starts making some more introspective rap songs. That's when he's best.
Okay, I added Coconut Water to my like list. I'm kind of curious what that sounds like. I added that and I added Alley-Oop. I want to listen to those songs.
It sounds like a minion. Like a sexy minion.
That's kind of cool. Yo. This girl speak minionese. He just went my banana. All right, so So my artist, my second one was Bunna B, who was the third artist on the Boat remix.
Yeah, let's go.
That's so funny. I agree with both of y'all. How? That is so funny. Yeah, that was her third most popular song, was the Boat remix. And like, it didn't really click because I didn't like write down notes. I was just remembering in my head. And then when you're talking about like, this song was overstayed its welcome, and I started looking it up and I was like, oh, I know exactly which one he's talking about. I was not a fan of, because I'm gonna be East Atlanta artist. Let's see, your top five songs are Bunna Summer. Number two is Hoes Be Mad. Number three was Boat Remix. Number four was Mad Again. I'm assuming she's referring to the hoes that were primarily mad or initially mad. And then the fifth song was In It.
Oh, British song?
In It.
In It.
These hoes be mad, In It. Wasn't really my thing. I will say this, though. I will say that, like, sometimes you'll hear a female rapper, right, talk about, like, I stole this guy's girl. And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know, except for, like, I stole your man, you know? But I think she did that always to where she's like, I also stole this girl's girl, and I also stole this guy's guy. And I'm like, this is very fun. So the following guy, I stole somebody's day
them. Maybe you should just be polyamorous at a certain point so you don't have to hurt so many feelings.
That's true. You know, I do want to say happy pride to Trim. I believe based on her lyrics, Trim is also queer.
Nice.
Same with pride. YK Neath.
Happy pride to all these ladies. Didn't love the Boat remix, though. Didn't love the top five songs.
And also,
I want your banana.
It's awesome we all had to listen to this shitty-ass song. What about that beat made people think we need to get other people to rap over it?
Yeah, what about that beat? They were like, yeah, let's run it back and let's re-release the song with more minions on it.
Hey, so like, yo, yeah, Pooh, it's your cousin, Frank Shiesty. I got something you want to hear.
You know that sound you've been looking for?
Listen to this. See, when I climb, I'm out.
So there's this Uber driver that picks me up like regularly when I go Uber. For some reason, he's always in my area, and he drives a Tesla, and he has the big screen up front where you can see all of his music playing, and he always listens to like Griselda artists. So I'll talk to him about that usually when he picks me up. And he picked me up on Friday night, and I was asking him like, oh, how did you start listening to this artist? Because I don't think he's Griselda. And he was like, man, just all this like the new age rap with all these females talking about like shaking their ass and stuff, I'm not with it. And that didn't really click until I listened to Bunna B, and I was like, I think this is who he's talking about.
By the way, I think Bunna B and YK Neath are very connected. I think Bunna B was also on the Whim Whammy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Honestly, it's not like, I wouldn't even call it bad music or anything. It's just not my thing. And like, I like, you know, shaking ass music sometimes. It could be good, but it just didn't really do it for me. I don't know. It's not going to be a Bunna Summer for me, myself. Yeah, so wasn't my thing.
YK Neath was on In It, so you did hear her too.
Oh, she was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, didn't. I think out of the top five songs, I think Mad Again was my favorite one out of all of those, but it didn't get added to the like playlist for me, unfortunately. I wouldn't be one of these hoes, though. I wouldn't be mad if she made the list. I would support her.
Let's wrap it up with, out of Hartville, South Carolina, The Ville, Trap Dicky. I listened to an interview with this guy. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him all the way. I think he seems like a really good dude. From Hartsville, South Carolina, he was shot in the face at 21 as a result of crossfire, survived that, and then immediately went into the studio to start recording music. He names his inspirations as Meek Mill, Andre 3000, and Rilo Rodriguez. No odd man out in that list. He's described his style as so South Carolina, preacher's grandson type shit, which, I think is a cool way to describe your music.
That's fire. I love that.
So his number one song is Down South with Key Glock. It flips a really commonly known sample. Do you guys know that sample? I don't know what song it's on, but it's the... Yeah.
I love that song.
He shortens that sample and flips that. He has a lyric in there, man with a tote bag, man, that's a fanny pack. I don't know why I thought that was funny. And then I don't appreciate the colorism in the hook, but I'm gonna let it slide. He does talk about a light skinned bitch with a big ass. I was like, hey, she could be dark skinned too. I don't think that matters.
It's just a descriptor, Adrian. He didn't make a qualitative judgment.
In general, Trap Dicky, basically his style is like hard trap bangers. I think Meek Mill is a good comparison for what he sounds like. He just sounds really hungry on every song. I don't think he has the best wordplay. I'll talk about that a little bit throughout the songs, but he's got a good vibe to him. LA Knights, he flips Weezer's Island in the Sun, which is a crazy sample. I don't know if he's going to make Hartville the new Ville. I feel like there's already a Carolina Ville that's the Ville, but he's really trying. That was the name of the mixtape. Okay, this is what I mean. So one of the lyrics is, "Man, she all in my business, Karen. My hit has spit in the block, not even Karen." And I was like, that's what Phil does when he's joke rapping. And he's like, "I got a friend, Karen. She's not Karen." it's that. And then it's him
my
doing like basketball
Amanda,
after
he's
bars.
A man. Duh.
I got this selfish friend named Sharon. She's not Sharon.
I have a friend named Darren. He always picks truth. He's never Darren.
There's lots of sports bars, but if you're into that, but it's a little weak overall with the wordplay, but it is a fun trap banger. They all are. Third was No Love with Big X the Plug. That one's fire. Cool old school sample in the hook that adds some nice texture to an otherwise boilerplate trap beat. Very hard overall. That is the interesting part about his style. It is like a lot of soul samples, but like very much peppered in. They're never like the main melody or anything like that. It's just like a hard trap banger where like in the hook or something like that, they'll throw in a soul sample. Next up is Blue Devils with DaBaby. Blue Devils is the song that blew him up and DaBaby landed on the remix. They're kind of trading bars, which is fun. It's a little bit weird because Trap Dicky is talking about shooting people and drugs and DaBaby is talking about how good he is at sex. So it doesn't really match lyrically, but they are kind of just going back and forth on that.
Man, DaBaby really collabs with everyone. It's crazy how much he's on.
And you know what? He's good. He's really good on the song. He's got a really good flow on it.
I like DaBaby.
Shout out to the lyric, "Starting to think my whip needs a bathroom because I pulled up and shitted on him."
That's awesome.
We could use that for the poop bars. I listened to the original song.
I like the setup. I'm really starting to think that.
I'm really starting to ponder the possibility. I pulled up. So I listened to the original to hear like the rest of the verse that got cut out so that DaBaby could rap on it. And this was my favorite part of it. "Killing shit like Jason," which, by the way, another great example of the kind of like metaphors that he's on. "Killing shit like Jason, the serial killer."
But I'm not chasing anybody.
"Killing shit like Jason, my biggest fear is that I have a gay son."
Oh, so that's why he collabed with DaBaby.
Now I see why he's collabing with DaBaby.
Kevin Hart and Tracy Morgan were also on that song.
Them Carolina boys crazy. "I Can't Stand the Rain" is the soul sample that's really good in the song. It kind of highlights his style where he just like really likes to add just like a little something here and there to make his song a little bit different. And the last one was "I Keep Forgetting" with Young Hardaway. The song bio says that Trap is actually a nickname from a middle school trip where people were flipping his name, which is Travis. Apparently some Mexican kids on a trip were just calling him Trap and that's where it came from. It's not actually from trapping, which I thought was interesting. It's another soul sample where they flip it for the hook. He's definitely the better part of the song. I didn't really like Hardaway's thing. But in general, I think that he's definitely style over substance, because just some of these bars, like, "I'm going to get rich or die trying like 50 Cent. My pockets are big like Big Pun. I'm big boss like Rick Ross." It's just like, I feel like I could write this in my, I don't know, like on autopilot. So I'm really rooting for him. He seems like a cool dude. Seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. But
well, not everybody's trying to be lyrical, Adrian. You gotta meet them where they're at.
You gotta be better than that, though. I don't know. But yeah, that's my review. I hope I'm rooting for him all the way.
Yeah.
I think I put all those songs on my like playlist. They were all pretty good. All
right, y'all want to get into advice columns?
So really, my only connection to XXL is that I'm bringing in Ask T-Pain. The question doesn't really have that much to do about XXL. But this is his short-lived series on Vice, so I'll bring in the question. It has a little bit of something to do that we were talking about with Phil's artist, so. "Dear T-Pain, recently I had a bad breakup with a girl I met in church. To be A honest, she was a 10, but I had to let her go because I found out she was sleeping with the pastor's wife, who was 44 years old. I discovered it one day by looking through her phone. She had pics of them together. I find the situation very disturbing. Should I tell the pastor, or should I let it slide? I don't know what to do. Help, biblical befuddlement."
The pastor isn't going to care. It's not cheating or sodomy if it's two women.
Should I tell the pastor or should I let it slide?
I think we've had this question before about if you're like a tangential party to cheating, you're supposed to just let it play out.
Yeah.
Really?
But he said it's a bad breakup, so maybe this is a revenge thing.
Ooh.
I had an ex who did that. After we broke up, she started dating somebody and then she found out he had a girlfriend already, and she did the whole,
she
like,
was the guma?
She found out she was the guma, and she did the whole, like, find the girl and let her know.
I feel like that is the right thing. That's what I would do. I don't know if that's like snitching, but that is like one of the things where it's like, well, I don't want anybody else to get hurt, you know? I kind of want them to know too.
I guess, but then you're putting yourself like, why have these people all, like, you don't know how that person's going to react. It's like, is it my issue to have all these people be angry at me? Or like, you don't know how they're going to react. It's like, might as well just leave well enough alone. It's not my job to be a hero.
But they wouldn't, like, if you find out they had, like, a partner already, and then that's what, and then you didn't keep on, like, messing around with them, I feel like the other person couldn't be mad at you, you know, if you didn't know.
Oh, I don't think you know how people react to these things. They could very easily be like, you stole him, you're a temptress, you're a bitch, I'm going to ruin your good name. I'm going to say that, like, you're trying to steal men.
Okay, well, let's try it out right now. Let's say, Paul, you are Adrian's partner, right? And Adrian just told
Officer.
Me that.
My name's Officer Jones.
Officer. You're married to somebody named Officer Jones, is it?
Yeah. Me and Officer Jones right. are a gay couple.
And then I knock on Paul's door.
Yeah, come in.
I can just come in. You don't even know who. I can just come inside your house. You know what? You deserve to be cheated on. Hey.
I was waiting for my loving, honorable boyfriend, Officer Jones, to come visit me. Who are you?
That's actually why I'm here. I didn't know this, but I guess Officer Jones is with you. I didn't know that information. An officer has been sleeping with me.
You?
And
slut.
I didn't know, though. I didn't know that officer was with you.
Oh, you didn't know.
See, I think that, real quick note, I think the dialogue would be Officer Jones has been splitting me in half, or like Officer Jones has been like hitting me from the back with the knee brace on, or like, I don't
know
what
to say. Yeah. Let me do this again, all right? I knock on your door.
Come in, Officer Jones.
Hey, actually it's
Wait, who are you?
My name is Phil. Phil Sargent is my name. Your boyfriend Officer Jones has been rearranging my guts. I just want to let you know that real quick.
Oh, yeah, because he is a surgeon, which you wouldn't guess from his name, Officer Jones. That makes sense.
He did role play as a surgeon right before he got inside of my stomach and moved my organs around a little bit.
That makes a lot of sense, because he's taken those improv classes, so it makes sense he would role play.
How else can I put this to where you can't flip it? He's been showing me a good time, if you know what I mean.
He is a tour guide at Carowinds. That makes sense.
Let's see. He has been 69ing with me.
Man, I love that he teaches inner city youth how to do math in his free time.
And clearly you're an inner city youth.
he does do that too. And I love that he does that. I love that he takes the improv classes. But also, Officer and I have been seeing each other.
That miraculous surgery to restore his eyesight, God bless. You and two only, have like, been seeing each other.
Yeah, we have. Officer Jones has been fucking me.
Well, he's not always honorable in his business, but I'm sure we can figure it out.
Officer Jones and I have been fooling around in the bedroom.
Now, come on now. You know there isn't a lot of space in that bedroom. What, you put a ball pit in there that wouldn't even fit? What are you even talking about, buddy?
Oh, yeah. So Officer Jones has been sucking me silly.
What? You slut.
That's where I can't flip that one. That one's completely unambiguous.
He's been showing you a funny vacuum cleaner?
I'm going to ruin your good name in this town. I'm going to tell everybody in church how you seduced Officer Jones and stole him right out from under me.
But do you know how, like, I didn't know y'all were together? Does that change your mind at all?
How could you not know? Explain that to me.
He always seems so busy with teaching the inner city youth math, taking improv classes,
being a tour guide at Carowinds, which is a really real job.
Installing a ball pit in his bedroom. He just seemed like such a busy man. I couldn't think he also has time to have a whole other relationship.
Did you even check his Instagram where you could see my hand in a photo on a table during a brunch?
I thought that was my hand. We're both bald white men.
He has a type. Like.
He does have a type.
You know, there was one solution to this, and if we'd all just been polyamorous, then I wouldn't have been hurt.
Well, I agree, but... Oh, wait, is that him?
Honey, I'm home. Time to suck me silly.
Which one? By the way, put the vacuum cleaner away with the... and take off the clown outfit.
Yeah, Officer Jones, this is serious. Why do you have a vacuum cleaner and a clown outfit on?
We're not going to suck anything silly, all right?
Wait, you guys are... If you guys are both here, then that means Nope.
And scene.
Scene.
All right. Is there any actual advice you want to give to this guy?
One thing, it's your church. Like, it would ruin your good name in a lot of ways.
I would pretend to speak tongues.
Yeah.
I'd pretend to be overtaken by the Lord.
I guess in this case, it wouldn't ruin your... Yeah. Because you were just dating the woman who was the Gumar. So it really can't be flipped on you. I don't know. It's still like... Maybe I'm just too conflict avoidant. I would be like, I don't want to be the person to start this domino of this, like, church splitting apart.
Yeah, you know, that's too old for me, but I don't know who exposed my pastor for cheating on his wife when that happened when I was young. I don't know who was the one who broke that news.
Oh, you had a pastor, dude. I was going to say every church in South Carolina or in Lexington had a controversy where one of the congregation cheated on his wife.
Oh,
and then,
no, this was the pastor. This is the one who baptized me.
That's intense.
All right, do you guys want to read the answer?
Yeah, I'm down.
This is from T-Pain. Ooh-wee-oo. I'ma give you good answers. Hey, BB. I would absolutely tell the pastor. Not even a question. That would be the first thing. Man, if he's really into religion, then it's only right. From the ideals of his religion and the traditions of his religion. I'm gonna guess he's Christian. Good guess. Yeah, it's only right to tell the pastor. I would definitely tell the pastor in some outrageous way, like at a seance or some shit, then tell you to ask for forgiveness for telling. Sincerely, T-Pain. That was kind of my idea, was to do it while you're speaking tongues.
Yeah.
All right. Do y'all want to get into my column?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, man.
I brought in an Annie Lane. And for this one, Adrian and Phil, I was thinking that the connection is, you know, when you get the double XL freshman, You're kind of getting a promotion. You're kind of entering the new era of your career, and you got to stay humble or you got to become a diva. So this is about keeping it real. Dear Annie, my husband recently got promoted to CEO of the company he works for. At first, we were all so excited for him. In the last 2 months, he has seemed to become almost arrogant towards us. He just complains at the dinner table about how no one can do the job as good as him. Not really sure where this arrogance came from. What do I do to help him slow his roll?
I mean, that is a pretty big deal to get promoted to CEO.
Yeah, from janitor? That's crazy.
Yeah, he worked his way up.
No. Single job. He was doing such a good job as janitor.
Yeah, does CEO stand for, like, custodian of, like, external office? Something like that?
What if that was? What if that's what it was? It was a different type of CEO. He got promoted to correctional officer, but he just says it real quick around her. Yeah, I'm a CEO.
So he's complaining about how nobody does the job as good as him. Like, as in, like,
I think he's bragging. I think he's, like, talking his shit. He's like, nobody does this as good as me. I'm number one. I'm killing it. I'm the best.
I mean, nobody's going to do the job as good as him if he's the only CEO, though. Is he saying the people who were behind him didn't do, or people below him
maybe
are not doing a good job in his position?
No, that's what
that
I
had?
But I think the way that I read it is the first thing, that he's just saying he's the best CEO.
Of all the CEOs. He's just great at being a CEO.
Yeah, which I don't understand how that translates as arrogance towards your family, unless they work for you. I don't...
I mean, it'd be annoying dinner table conversation. Like, who wants to hear somebody say... Like, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's CEO or anything. Like, if Phil was always going on about how he's the best comedy duo in Colombia, it'd get a little...
Yeah, that's true.
If Phil was like, I have the best comedy rap duo in Colombia, nobody can come for me and Patrick. It'd be like, okay, this is kind of weird conversation.
Yeah, we do jokingly say on stage we're the number one comedic rap duo in Columbia, South Carolina that has performed at multiple barbecue places or something like that. So we know, but hey, we are the best out of that very niche category. But he's saying he's the best CEO. Like, let's see. That is a weird conversation to have at dinner with your family because it's like they don't work with you. They can't relate to any of this work talk in general. But then also to say, like, out of all the CEOs, I'm probably the best one.
Do you guys currently, or have you ever had a partner who was specifically, it was a turnoff for them for someone to be arrogant or for you to be arrogant?
No.
No, but I guess I was never that arrogant, or they were never really that arrogant about.
I had an ex who was like that, where even if I was joking and I was just like, if I made a joke and it landed really well, I'd be like, man, I'm so fucking funny. And she would get mad about me saying that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's another thing, too, where it's like, if I make a good joke every now and then, I'd be like, I might write that down. That was pretty good, even if nobody laughs. But I feel like nobody sees that as arrogance. Like, normal people should just see that as, like, oh, they're doing more bits right now. You know, it's like, just adding on to the bit. But I guess, like, being arrogant about a job is, like, a whole other thing, where it's like,
yeah,
man, I crunched these numbers so well today, babe. Like, I'm gonna change my meal plan. My meal plan anything, because I've been just crunching these numbers. You know what, baby, you can keep this dinner because today I already crunched enough numbers.
But there's also the other element of like, maybe this helps him be good at his job. Like, confidence is 99% of being an executive, I assume.
Mm.
If you tell him like, this is getting, like, this is him hyping himself up. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to feel like he's a fucking man so he can go in and boss people around.
Hyping him up.
But yeah, honey, you're the best CEO.
Yeah, she should be in his face. She should be like a hype man for a rap battle, being like, yeah, fuck yeah. You crunch those numbers so fucking hard today, babe.
I don't think CEOs crunch numbers. They literally just talk. They just sit around making decisions.
You talk that shit. Talk your shit. That big boss shit.
All the kids are at the dinner table with their forks and I'm like, talk that shit.
See, that's a good family right there.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing to brag about. To where it's like, I don't know.
It is. But do you think she should knock him down a notch? Or do you think that'd be bad for him and it's just like put up with it?
Now, what's the difference between knock down a peg and being knocked down a notch? Are those different amounts?
Mm. I think she should peg him.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
He probably needs to, because when you're so powerful at work, you need to give up control at home.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think if it's just not fun talk at the dinner table, that's one thing, right? To be like, hey, I don't want to talk about work or your work specifically, you know?
Yeah.
But also, if it's more just like the arrogance that's turning you off, I feel like, yeah, she should not necessarily like take him down a notch or take him down a peg or whatever, but
you should
put a moratorium on
family dinners around the TV watching Shark Tank.
He's going to keep pointing out how he's better than all the other businesses.
And she's going to be like, hey, you're not up there. You ain't up there.
You're not on the TV. All right, Mr. Wonderful is.
Okay, do we want to hear the answer? One of my favorite quotes is, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Talk to him and point out how his arrogance will only
hurt
himself.
That's one of her favorite quotes? That's one of her go-tos?
This seems a little biased towards men, am I right?
Point out how his arrogance will only hurt himself and others in the long run.
You're supposed to make him do like a pride cometh before the... You have to make him read Oedipus? What is that?
I have a little poem for you. Have you heard of this fella named Ozymandias? Think on that.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, I guess just point it out. Be like, you're getting kind of arrogant, but I don't know if this is coming from somewhere. Yeah, maybe if this is like, if you feel insecure about your job and that's why you want to bring it up at the dinner table or something, you could talk to me about this stuff, but this is just weird dinner talk, you know?
Yeah, I think you probably don't have to put too much thought into this one. Seems like it's a simple problem with just point it out and maybe he'll be less annoying. Cool.
Yeah.
Big facts, no cap. Get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it.
My big fact is, any press is good press, even if they label you as an up-and-comer.
My big fact is, we need to start a double XL podcast freshman and put ourselves on the first year.
And my no cap is that there should be a double XL seniors where they give rappers the opportunity to retire because they need to stop rapping.